Welcome to episode 116 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today we have an amazing show lined up for you, and by the end of it, you will understand our new approach to the podcast so that it's more interactive. Be clear why get a life is not a great translation for buscarse la vida. Get four good translations for that same expression and know exactly which one is best for what context. This podcast helps you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi, everyone, and welcome to another podcast episode. Today, we do have a little bit of news for you. And the news is related to the fact that we're going to slightly, just very, very slightly, change the format of the podcast show. And this has come about for a number of reasons, but partly connected to my Friday email. And I think it was last week I sent out an email kind of encouraging people to get back to me, telling them that, you know, that I read all the replies and that I actually reply to all the emails that I get from my audience as well. And I think I'd never been so sort of explicit about this in the past. I've never been so like direct. And the response was absolutely massive. And I actually got back to everybody. It was just really, really incredible and really amazing. And so what we're thinking of doing in terms of the format of the podcast is to actually take the Friday email and extend it a little bit in this particular podcast format. So getting the Friday email and putting it in audio format, basically, together with your responses to that particular Friday email. So as usual, Alistair is here with me. Hi, Alistair. How are you doing?
Hi, Daniel. I'm doing fine. And I love this new idea. Looking forward to see how it works.
Yeah. I think it will be nice because we'll be able to really get feedback from the audience and really have sort of a better idea of, you know, their struggles and everything else. So I think it will work nicely.
The idea is hopefully be more interactive than it's been up to now.
Exactly.
As you say, we're sort of recycling and using the topic on the Friday and then discussing it. You'll be looking at the emails. And then people will have comments or additions or questions or whatever it may be connected with that email.
Yeah.
And we can then introduce some of those, obviously the more interesting or useful ones, into the podcast. So it all sort of, you know, feeds off each other, so to speak.
That's right. So I would say anybody who is listening but doesn't get the Friday email, I definitely would encourage you to sign up. They can go to the main website, which is danielsmith.es. Okay, so www.danielsmith.es. And there, basically, it's just a sign-up process there. And
it's free, by the way.
It's free, absolutely.
The podcast. Free.
Yeah. So then once you're there, you will get the Friday emails on a weekly basis, obviously. And then you will have the opportunity, really, to reply to me and then be potentially featured in the podcast, right?
By name.
And
you won't use people's surnames, second names.
Yeah.
Because that's confidentiality. But of course, the first name will say, Pablo from Argentina sent a very interesting email saying blah, 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 blah. No. So, you know, if people want to, people will recognize themselves, I would imagine. So, you know, if you want to get a mention on the podcast, you know.
Yeah.
Get active. Get sending those emails in. Because I believe you got a lot, you told me.
Yeah.
Was it 70 a lot, or 80 or more?
Yeah, that's right.
Or maybe 100.
That's right.
Yeah. Which is a great response.
Amazing. But I think the real value here is the fact that, you know, not only do I get more connection with my listeners, let's say, or our listeners, but also we get great ideas. You know, great, yeah. great ideas for the podcast. So that is the real added benefit, I think. And I think hopefully everybody will see that is clear. Now, what will happen, because there are so many emails, Alistair also will help me with analyzing all of them. So although I get the emails directly and respond directly, Alistair will be helping me go through the emails, picking out who to highlight and
what to highlight, what's useful.
Because there's a lot
of work for you replying for a start. So then I think I can help you in that aspect, because obviously we're both going to be discussing this, the content of the Friday email, and obviously, as we've said, incorporating some responses, reactions we've had during that week before we record the podcast. So yeah, obviously exactly. I need to be able to see what people are saying, and together we'll pick out what we think are interesting. So yeah, I hope people don't mind, but yes, I will be having access to Daniel's emails. Don't worry, there's no problems with confidentiality. It's only me. No.
Exactly.
I'm not going to be...
Exactly. That's right.
Exactly. Just so people, we thought it's important just to tell people that's the case. No?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, we need to get all that information together, bring it into a show. And so that we have, you know, the right type of, information available to us at the right time, you know.
Yeah.
And sort of getting the best comments. So if you really want to be on the show, then write a great email and you'll probably be on the show, you know.
Yeah,
so yeah, absolutely. So that's the way we're going to organize this particular episode today, a little bit. It's kind of still in work in progress, let's say. But what we're going to do is we're going to start with the email that I sent last week, which was literally a few days ago. And it was all to do with one particular expression, which is buscarse la vida, right? Or buscarte la vida, if you want to say it like that. Now, in the email, I said that I really liked this particular expression. I kind of felt that it was a nice one, but also quite difficult to translate into English, right, Alistair?
Yeah, it is. I think it also, because it has slightly different interpretations of exactly what it means. Well, I suppose Spanish speakers who use it have a feeling for it, that they know exactly when to use it and what context and what it means. But trying to get that into English with the same phrase is quite difficult. So we don't think there isn't one translation. There are, you put forward, I think, four possibilities that could be more. And people, you told me, were responding with their suggestions as well. And some are going, yeah, that could be also. I think it depends how you use it, to who you use it, and exactly in the context that then in English maybe could have a slightly different translation. So yeah, it's a very, and a few people did say to you, I think, that this is very difficult to translate, because even for Spanish people, trying to explain exactly what it means is not that easy.
Yeah,
they
sure.
feel it. You know, they know.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. So maybe what we can do is we can go through the four options that I gave in the email and kind of just elaborate a little bit more on those. And that hopefully will help our listeners in terms of
when we would use these in English, which may not directly correspond necessarily to the Spanish version.
Yeah.
So it's important people know what these mean, and obviously you can relate them to the Spanish expression, but you know, they may have some other particular meanings that you wouldn't use that Spanish expression. So I think it's important, yes, to go through them, look at them a little bit, when we might use them, exactly what they mean is important, no?
Exactly. Now, number one is actually the one that I prefer in terms of my direct translation, which would be, and of course, is a phrasal verb, which is to work it out or work something out. Now, of course, phrasal verbs, and I did a phrasal verb session in the fluency community recently, but it's kind of interesting, right? Because this is a phrasal verb that's a separable. It's separate. You can get non-separable and separable phrasal verbs, right, Alistair? And in this case, you know, it's to work something out. So it's actually a separable phrasal verb.
Work out something, work something out.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, in this Spanish phrase, you're not saying what. Well, I suppose life is what you're saying. But the English one, you can work out in a sense of calculate. I think we did an episode on this possibly about working out, maybe in a restaurant, you get the bill and you can work out how much each person has to pay. So it's like doing, you know, sort of calculating things. But obviously, if you're saying búscate la vida in Spanish, in English, you're not saying working out anything in particular. Well, you're talking about life in general, no? You're not calculating numbers like a rest. So you can use work it out in English in a different way, which we do quite a lot, or work out in the gym, which is a different thing again. It's doing again, exercise in the gym is working out. But you just say, well, work it out, just like that.
Yeah.
No? Whatever it is we're talking about, your life, your problems, or work it out for yourself is another way you can use it in English.
Absolutely.
Like, don't ask me for solutions. Work it out yourself. It's your, you know, it's your life.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's probably my preferred one. But as you say, it is, you can make it more specific in English, can't you? It is a little bit more
work out a
connected
particular thing.
Yeah.
Work out how to do something. Like you get a new, I don't know, application on your mobile or on your mobile phone. You've got to work out how to use it, how it works. So that's a sort of different use or a different meaning to the Spanish buscarse la vida, no? But yeah, we think, and you said you like this one as it's a good translation.
I think so.
You know, you work it out, or work it out for yourself, or just work it out. Or you say, work it out as you go along. Yeah,
sure.
Or sobre la marcha, I know you'd say in Spanish, is another way you could use it same meaning, really, no?
Yeah. I think it's a sort of idea that, for example, if you get a new application on your phone and you don't really know how to use it, for example, you say, or somebody says, you know, how am I supposed to use this? Or maybe my son would say, how am I supposed to use this?
Daddy,
you have to work it out. You have to work it out. This is the way, you know.
Yeah, work it out yourself.
I can't help you with
everything,
single thing, right?
Yeah, sometimes you just have to work things out for yourself.
That's right.
So find your own solutions to your problems. Yeah. Actually, there's a very famous song by the Beatles that people know, We Can Work It Out. Well, a lot of people will know, We Can Work It Out. So what are they talking about there? Well, it's like this, really. It's saying, well, you know, it's very open to interpretation. It's like, We Can Work It Out could be there's a couple having problems between them in the relationship.
Yeah.
Probably is, because, you know, the early Beatles songs tended to be love and romance. And
sure.
So we can work it out. It's like, we've got problems, but we can work them out. We can discuss them and we find solutions and stay together. We don't have to split up. Or it could just be, you know, the planet, the people, humanity. There's lots of problems with global warming and pollution, but we can work it out. If we sit down together and talk, we can find solutions, no? So it's got...
Sure.
You can use it in lots of different situations in life, no?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah. Love that. That's really good. Yeah. So, yeah, as usual with these phrasal verbs, right? So tricky in so many ways, partly because you also said, you know, you can use it related to working out in the gym, you know? They are really, really tricky, these things. But hopefully that's clear. Hopefully that one is particularly clear. And
it's a good one. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe the best, perhaps, of the four.
But my favorite.
Some of the others
but...
will have other uses and meanings where they are the best. If you see what I mean. But not necessarily a translation completely of Buscarse la Vida. This is the point.
Yeah, exactly. So the second one is to hustle. Now, this is really, really... I don't know whether you've come across this a lot.
Yeah, it's very American movies and music. I'd never use it myself. It's very American, very US.
It is, isn't it?
To hustle.
There's
another song that you're probably too young. There was a 70s disco song called Do the Hustle.
Oh, right.
And I think I think the hustle is a dance. So they turned a dance and called it the hustle. Why? Who knows? But there's, check it out in, you know, put in YouTube, somebody do the hustle, you'll get some 70s disco song. So I know that word from that when I was a teenager or however old I was then.
Yeah.
And I think there's a film as well called The Hustler. Maybe sounds very familiar.
Yeah, definitely. There are lots of films with that word in.
Yeah.
Lots.
Yeah, because hustling can be this idea, a bit of we've talked before, remember, about your experience with the taxi driver in Poland being timado and engañado. So people can go back to that episode, various ways in English you can express those concepts. But I think in USA, a hustler is a guy who, un timador, basically. A con man, no? We said.
Yeah.
So somebody who wins your confidence, somebody who finds a way of making money on the street by, let's say, not always completely legal ways, is a hustler, no? Or to hustle in life.
Yeah, but that's interesting because that's with an R at the end. Now, if you...
the hustler is the person who hustles.
That's the person, right?
So with it's an like R at the end.
Yeah, it's like a noun. But you can also be the verb form, right, to hustle.
To hustle, yeah.
Which means, I think, is basically to work hard.
Yeah, but if it... Well, this is the thing, it's complicated verb because it could be just that, legally and normally working hard to achieve... Your goals, but
in this sort, goal or whatever.
Yeah. But the way it's used a lot in American movies, American series that I'm familiar with from watching TV, it's always quite a negative. It's like hustling in the street, a street hustler.
Yeah.
So, for example, these guys in the street who cover a coin, no, or a dollar bill with cups or a bean, and they move them around, go, where's the bean or where's the dollar?
Okay.
And we go, that one. And people are betting money.
Right.
So these people are hustling. Yeah, they're making a living in that kind of way that's not necessarily illegal, but very resourceful.
A bit shady, a bit questionable.
Yeah. Now, obviously, it doesn't have to be that. So we're using it in this sense of búscate la vida. Well, I suppose when you say to people, búscate la vida is, you know, find your way, work it out in any way you can.
In any way you can, absolutely.
It could be legal or maybe not so legal. So, you know, the guy in the street doing that, he's found his way of making his living, no?
That's right.
It's very open to interpretation, this concept.
Yeah, and actually that expression that you said just then, we'll come back to that at the end, okay? Which is interesting, to make a living, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Number three is to get by, which... is slightly different meaning again, right? I did mention this in the Friday email. Because to get by is closer to really about surviving, right?
Yeah,
more than anything sobrevivir, else.
To survive in many senses. Either get by on the money you have. So if you have a low income, you don't earn much money, you say, well, can you get by on that amount? So you could say, how much do you need to get by in Madrid, you know, to be able to live, basically? So you might say, €1,000 a month is impossible to get by in Madrid because the rent would be that before you have to eat and pay bills. So this getting by is, you know, how much money or whatever do you need to survive? It can also be language. So you could say, you know, how's your French? You say,
this is really good, this bit.
Well, you say, well, it's not great, you know, but I can get by, which means if I go to France, I have enough French. I can't maintain conversations or intellectual debates with anyone. But I've got enough to order food in a restaurant, go shopping, buy a train ticket.
Yeah.
I can survive as a tourist or whatever in France with the little bit of French I have. I can get by.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the same concept. So you can get by in life on a certain amount of money. You're able to live just on that money by the minimum. Or with a language, you don't have a lot, but what you have is sufficient to be able to survive in France on holiday or whatever. So the same concept, really. Yeah.
Yeah, the one thing that I would add there, which is really interesting, is that many Spanish speakers say, me puedo defender, right? And so that's also a similar connection there, right? Because it's like, you can say, like, but in English, you can't say, because when you say that in Spanish, lots of Spanish speakers take it across directly and they say, I can defend. So how's your English? Well, I can defend myself. But that's really more related to, you know.
It's get by, isn't it? You know, that's what you
say. It's get by.
Yeah, I never really thought of that before. It's an excellent translation of the, defend yourself. Say, so how's your, speak a bit of German. How is it? Well, you know, I can defend myself. But obviously defend yourself in English is literally defend yourself from an attack. You know, physically, no? So you'd say, well, you know, I can get by. That would be basically the translation. So
that would be the perfect translation. Absolutely.
So you can use it for two things at least. Well, three. Sobrevivir, defenderse en un idioma. I'm losing my voice. Excuse me.
And, don't worry.
And the concept of búscate la vida, no? Say, well, you know, you just got to get by, you know, find a
way. Yeah, exactly. The last one is kind of similar to get by, isn't it? To fend for yourself, okay? You have to fend for yourself. Now, this part of the first part of sentence, fend, is very...
like defend, isn't it? I'm just realized.
It is. Yeah. To fend for yourself. Now, it's kind of as if you are, as you say, defending yourself, right? It's like...
similarity, isn't there, to fend? I suppose it's more open. It's not just in language. It could actually be... Well, if someone stuck you, you know, these things about putting people, there's all these programs on TV, you know, they stick famous people on an island and they have to survive. No eating, God knows what, disgusting things from the jungle. So you'd say, well, these people have to fend for themselves.
Exactly.
So it's got that concept of surviving, either could be in a language or it could be physically, like you're in the middle of the jungle. Could you fend for yourself? So would you be able to build a shelter, find food? So sort of look after yourself, isn't it? Survive. Survival techniques.
Yeah, and I think probably that verb, because you can, it is to fend, right? To fend for yourself is probably a verb that most of our listeners don't. I mean, it's true that I wouldn't use it very often either, except in that expression, to fend for yourself. You need to fend for yourself. That's absolutely fine.
Yeah, and it's not defend. You could mishear it and think somebody's saying defend, but they're not. Although it does have a very similar meaning, but it's fend for yourself. And there's a good example. Like I went, both of us, well, in England, we've spoken about this before in other episodes. It's very common that most people leave home at 18 to go to university in another part of the UK, which is what I did. So, you know, when I went away, my parents couldn't help me. Well, I mean, they could give me money or something, but I was on my own, independent, living away from home, and I had to fend for myself in a new city. Yep. So, you know, I had to, you know, whatever, go shopping, buy food, cook, clean, etc., etc. So that's, you know, at a young age, 18, I was fending for myself away from my parents.
Exactly.
Surviving, and learning how to look after yourself, I suppose, is what it means.
Yeah. You could actually apply this also to the language idea, right? Because you could say, oh, well, how is your English? Well, I'll get by. Or you say, how is your English? Well, I can fend for myself, no?
Yeah, could use it in that way, yeah, because, it's like I can fend for, you know, without any help from anybody else, with what I have, the level of whatever, I can manage certain situations. So really it's the same. It's similar, isn't it? You say, I can fend for myself. If I was, you know, abandoned in the middle of France on my own, I could fend for myself. I have enough French to, you know, buy some food and find a hotel or whatever you need to do, get a bus ticket.
Yeah, so there you go. Those are the four, really. Number one, to work something out, to work it out, let's say. And number two is hustle, a little bit more American, kind of an interesting concept there. Definitely you would have known that or seen it in titles of films. Mm. And Alistair also mentioned the whole idea of the hustler, which is slightly different as well. Yeah. Then you can get by, which is really interesting as well. It's kind of survival, more related to survival than working something out. But still sort of close to the idea of buscarse la vida. And then the final one, bringing in this verb to fend, which is a little bit more unusual, but certainly used very much in this context of this expression, to fend for oneself. Claro, se puede decir también. But if you can, most of the time you say, If you're telling somebody else, and you could say, well, you need to fend for yourself. Or if you're talking about yourself, you can say, well, I can fend for myself. You know.
Yeah, you have to change that bit to whoever you're talking about. No, himself, herself, etc.
Yeah. Good. All right. So there we go. Those are the four that we did outline, or I outlined in the Friday email. Now we did get, and it's kind of, as I say, we got so many responses. Alistair's helped me with this as well. And we obviously I've replied to all of them. So thank you, first of all, for getting back to us, because I think in the future, you guys will be our inspiration, not only for the Friday email, but for the podcast, because I think it's a way of communicating with all of you guys. Just want to highlight two emails, don't we, Alistair? First was the idea of whether you could translate buscarse la vida as get a life, right? Because one of our listeners wrote in and said that.
Yeah. Or one of the readers, I don't know if they listen to the podcast. They might do. I hope so. Mm-hmm. But they certainly receive your Friday email. And this person, now in the future, what we'll try to do is... you or I will make a note of this person's name so they get a mention. Unfortunately, this is the first one I forgot to make a note. So, but this person will recognize themselves, I'm sure, if they're listening. And hopefully they will. We want to make that connection to join these two communities together, the listeners of the podcast and the readers of the Friday email, which will already be many people, do both.
Absolutely, majority, but I would say.
Yeah. We want the podcast listeners who don't to start reading the Friday email and vice versa. So... anyway, if this person is listening, they said that they used, they suggested and said that they used themselves sometimes, the get a life. So they'd say to somebody, get a life. And that is a very common expression. You hear it a lot on, you know, American on TV shows and films in English. So Daniel, what does it mean if you say, what circumstances or situation would you maybe say to somebody, get a life?
This is interesting,
not exactly,
right?
The same as it is Buscar.
No, exactly. Get a life is kind of like when you feel as if, well, I suppose it's, I wouldn't say it's a, like an insult, although it's close to an insult, right?
It's a bit impolite, no?
Yeah.
It depends how the person, if it's done in a joking way with people you know, maybe it's okay. But if you don't know that person that well, a colleague at work or something, you have to be careful because it can sound quite aggressive or rude, you know?
Yeah, that's right. So get a life basically means is if you think somebody is doing something that's a little bit, I don't know, like, how would you say? I don't know.
It's like, well, like a nerd, but boring.
Yeah.
But yeah,
yeah, exactly. Somebody who's not really, this is difficult to explain, to be honest, isn't it?
Well, I think if people know, for example, there's a famous comedy show in America. It's finished now, series. Millions of people watched it. And it's got like the Big Bang Theory that many of our listeners will know. So those people, what we call nerds, no? In Spain they say freakies.
Yeah, freakies.
So these people are all like obsessed with Star Wars and Lord of the Rings and Star Trek, and that's all they, playing Dungeons and Dragons. That's all they talk about and all they do. They're all, you know, very intelligent physicists. So those kind of people to other people seem very boring. It's like, oh, they're just obsessed with these stupid science fiction things on TV. That's all they talk about. They spend all day playing stupid games. So to other people who like going out and drinking and meeting their friends and, you know, what we would consider more normal, inverted commas, social activity, that nerdy person, or they go, oh, God, they're so boring. And you say, get a life. Why don't you get a life? What they mean is, you know, change your lifestyle to the one I have, as in.
Yeah.
So it's people
more
who
sociable, basically.
Yeah, a bit more sociable, more outgoing, more friendly, doing what most people do. You know, it's become like a normal person.
So it's
quite critical of someone. You're saying your lifestyle, the way you live, is boring. All you do is sit on the sofa all day watching stupid science fiction films. Now, to you, it's stupid. To them, no, they're quite happy doing this. That's how they want to live their life. So if you say to somebody, get a life, it is a bit rude and impolite, saying, I consider you to have a boring lifestyle. You're a very uninteresting, antisocial person. You need to be more like me and get out and meet people and, you know, drink and go to parties. And
That's right.
So it's very subjective, you know.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of often, very much related to the idea that this one person thinks that they have a better life than this other person, right? Yeah. And often it's the sociable one against the sort of introvert, right?
Exactly.
I suppose.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like sort of join the world of the normal people because you're not.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying, basically.
Exactly, But it's kind of an interesting one, and it's great, absolutely great, that this reader got in contact with me, because this is exactly the type of thing that we like to discuss on the podcast, the kind of this
perfect
confusion,
example.
Right? Yeah. This confusion between buscarse la vida, which you would think is the direct, you know, you would potentially think that get a life, it would potentially be
a
good
like
translation.
It would be,
I mean, you've got vida and life in both of them, right?
Yeah. So, you know. And the gets that feeling. Have you got to look for this thing? No, find it.
Sure.
So it does feel like, oh yeah, great translation of that phrase, but it isn't. Mm. So I
say, on top of that, you have to be careful, right? You have to be careful.
Yeah, who you say it to, when? Because somebody could be quite offended or upset.
By
that comment. Obviously, you'd say it to your friends, joking, like, you know, if your friend hasn't been out for weeks, and you just say, "Come on, you're so boring. Get a life.
Get out more.
No, enjoy yourself." Obviously, what one person enjoys, another person can be very different. This is the point. No, it's very
absolutely
assuming that your lifestyle is the correct one or the good one, and the other person's isn't. So that's why you have to be careful when you say that to somebody. No.
Yeah, exactly. And another email that I got was equally interesting, because they mentioned the expression in Spanish, ganarse la vida, which is a little bit what you mentioned before, Alistair, the whole idea of, I think it was, I don't know when you were talking about hustle or get by, I can't remember.
Said,
yeah.
The guy in the street, he's trying to earn a living like everyone else, no?
Ah, yes. Yeah. Okay. And that would be the direct translation of ganarse la vida, is to earn a living, right?
Yeah.
But buscarse la vida is different, right? So, it's different. Yeah. Ganarse la vida y buscarse la vida, yeah.
Yeah.
So English would be different.
Yeah, at least in English, yeah. You wouldn't say to someone, hey, earn your living. Well, you might, but it's just a fact. Like, it's a question, how do you earn your living? Which is the same as saying, what is your job? What do you do? And they say, I earn a living as an English teacher, a freelancing. That's how we earn our living, you and I. You know, basically is to do with teaching English or whatever, things to do with English learning. So it's just it doesn't really have any more than that. So, and you wouldn't say it to someone like, earn a living. You go, what? it's like, how do you earn a living? I want to know. I'm interested. What's your job? That's all it means. So no, it wouldn't be a translation of buscarse la vida, right?
Yeah. But I think this partly came about, and this is also interesting, as I think you might have mentioned it before, Alistair, is the idea that in Latin America, they don't really have this expression of buscarse la vida, right? And I think that was one of the key really interesting things as well, that a lot of the readers got back to me saying, well, buscarse la vida, we don't use that expression. So that's kind of
I think you said they said it was very Spanish. They sort of understood it. But they wouldn't use it. And then I think you told me that you had quite a lot of suggestions of, you know, people from Latin America saying, in Argentina, we say this, or in Venezuela, we say that.
Yeah.
So I think that was quite... So we often learn a lot about Spanish in this sense that we don't know if this is a common phrase used in all Spanish-speaking countries or not. But I think you sort of discovered that it's not that common out of Spain. People had alternatives that they were suggesting to you. No?
Exactly.
Which is always interesting as well for
it
us.
It is. All equally, because this is kind of like, a process of equal learning, right?
Yeah, we learn about Spanish.
Absolutely. We're learning on Spanish on the one side and you guys are learning English. So that's fantastic. It's like even better. Alistair, thank you very much for that. Buscarse la vida, we came up with four options to work it out, to hustle, to get by, and to fend for yourself. And also a little bit of audience participation there at the end as well. So what we will do is we'll continue with this format. I will write my Friday email, encourage you guys to reply, and then we can kind of integrate your comments into the show. As I said, I will definitely write back to all of you, that's for sure. But we will analyze, Alistair and I will analyze all the emails and choose the best to highlight a few of them in the show itself. So I think that's the plan for the future.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
Good.
Let's see.
Alistair, thank you very much. Really great to be with you again. And I'll see you again next week. Okay.
Yeah, see you next week. Pleasure as always. Ciao.
All right. Speak soon. See you. Bye.
Cheers.